As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Is this thing on? One, two, mic check, one, two. All right.
Man, this is our city. This is our city, man. We did it, man. It's unbelievable.
I feel like Black Jesus.
We've seen the story before.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA show. Monday on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to Part of Who. No, let me stop my Zach. Let me stop my Zach impersonation.
We need to keep that in.
I do have a take.
Let's open up with a joke. What do you call a cow on the floor? Anybody know? Ground beef.
Take the ass home.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, Booker down. So the sun set. Ja Grizz ain't ducking no smoke. Death lineup 2.0. Luka back, but does it even matter? Jerry West is pissed off. Just like in the show, Winning Time. Today is April 20th as we're recording. Well, so let me do this right. Little pre-roll there. Today, it fell out of my mouth. Today is April 20th. Happy 420 day. This is tough to talk like this. I'm Zach. That's Jade Hoy. Lighting the bong in this corner. The Longmeadow legend. The kingpin from Beantown who calls it like he sees it and often calls it before he sees it and sometimes sees like he calls it in his heyday. He liked the hot box because he always wanted all the smoke. And he is exactly who Omar from The Wire was talking about when he said,
"You come at the king, you best not miss."
He is the one and only Jay King. Jay, did Kyrie Irving give Celtics fans new meaning to the name Larry Bird?
That was a fantastic showing by Kyrie. I live for the theater of it, man. And obviously, he's going to hear a lot.
The kids saw two middle fingers.
The thing that I thought of, like, they used to, like, I remember when Kevin Garnett flipped off somebody in a game, they like blurred it out. So I appreciate that you can actually see the finger now, you know?
Oh, no, I remember Kevin Garnett did it.
Oh, the highlights.
You've seen the highlight on ESPN now.
The highlights have blurred out.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, the highlights have blurred
out. Maybe it's just
because
I always look on Twitter. Yeah, and that you can see it on Twitter, and it's just a different experience than when you.
But
you
after 10 p.m., I think Sports you Center. Can see the whole finger. I think that.
Yeah, after 10 p.m., then they'll let you see it. Absolutely.
But when Kevin Garnett, when they blurred out his finger, and it was like the biggest blur out you could ever see. Like his middle finger was like 3 miles long.
Yeah, here's the thing. Are we worried about what the kids seeing the middle finger? Sure. Are we worried about what the kids heard before the middle finger that prompted the middle finger? Are we worried about that? No, we're good? Okay, just want to make sure.
Those are just words.
Bay Area legend, author of two books about the Warriors and a brand new book on sale now, brand new as of like 6 months ago. Dynasties, the 10 GOAT teams that changed the NBA forever, the one and only Marcus Thompson. Marcus, have you or will you ever attend Coachella?
I have not. I'll never will, but I would love to.
What?
That sounds like a nightmare to me.
It does. I just kind of want to. But it's what you. It's a flex, right? You go for. It's like saying you've been to the Grand Canyon. Like sure. I saw it 10 minutes. All right, I'm out. Like that's what I want. I just want to step foot on the sea, get a little wristband, and be like, "Yo, I right. was Coachella 2027." You feel me? I was in the building, and then I'm out.
Right.
But I don't want
right,
to be
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare to me. Plus, yeah, I see the people I know going.
Last place I'd
my 14-year-old no. daughter comes downstairs the other morning, like, "Hey, Coachella starts today. What the hell do you know about? Like, what the hell is this?"
She's growing up.
Like the only that's Coachella the only you're going to includes NBA coaches, baby. Pop and Steve Kerr and him.
All right. Time to spark it. Jade, start the clock.
Ah, oh, man. That's some heavy shit, man.
Take one. Don't booker that trip to the finals just yet. Tuesday night in Phoenix, the New Orleans Pelicans stun Chris Paul and the Suns 124-114 to take game two of their opening round playoff series. Brandon Ingram was on fire as he scored 37 points, grabbed 11 rebounds, and doled out 9 assists. But as you may have heard, the big story from this game was Devin Booker went down in the third quarter with an apparent hamstring injury. The All-Star guard, who was spectacular in the first half, finished with just 31 points. He was hurt while challenging a Jackson Hayes dunk in transition. Jade, play the tape.
It is what it is. Part of the game. You know what I mean? We got guys that's more than capable of stepping up. You know, Book was killing. He was having a big-time game, but, you know, it is what it is.
Quote from Monty Williams following game two. We've played without Chris and Book before. Jade played that tape.
We'll do what we do. We've been really good on the road, historically good on the road. We've played without Chris and Book before. If we have to play without Book, next man up. And we've done that all year long.
Booker has battled hamstring issues for the past two seasons. In November, he strained his left hamstring and missed 7 games. Last year during the finals, he suffered a hamstring injury in game 3, but played through the issue and kept it a secret at the time. During the 2021 regular season, he also had a left hamstring injury and missed 4 games. Marcus, could this injury derail your son's chances and hopes of getting back to the finals?
Yes. Damn. Come on, man. This ain't even right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're offended by the
yes.
injury.
Yes. Like, do you see his face? I was so crushed with his face. He yeah. kind of, he's like, bro, yeah. he was like, this is it.
He looked just sad
know,
on the bench.
You know.
He
just
knows, was like, yeah. At that moment, it wasn't even like, oh, well, he might be back. You know, there was no, he was like, yep, that's it. Then Chris Paul says up to him. He was like, yeah, bro, I'm done. It's on you. Basically yeah. passed him the blunt. Was like, this yours now. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, here's the problem. New Orleans, they might lose this series without Book, but oh, they gonna make them dudes run. Mm-hmm. They gonna, and now you gotta start wondering what happens with Chris Paul. Chris Paul is the one with durability issues, right? And yeah. no matter what happens, even if they get through the Warriors, get through Memphis, whoever they gotta get through, you probably have a team in the finals waiting for you who will not let Landry Shamet beat them, right? Like, so this is
that's so mean.
This is title right here. This is the championship right here.
Landry's going off.
I mean, this is the championship, and they yeah. if he doesn't get back, that's the championship right there.
Jay, this Hornets team, since their 3-16 start.
You're not gonna disrespect Charlotte like that. Come
whatever,
on, man.
Whatever. I'm sorry. The good
LaMelo and them are sitting at home.
Yeah. This Pelicans team, 3-16 to start the season. Since then, you count the play-in and you count the playoffs so far, they are 36 and 31. 36-31, counting those games. That's a good team. That's above 500. Like, this Pelicans team is no common 8 seed, I don't feel like.
Yeah, I feel like every year there's one of those teams that figures something out during the year and kind of just totally shifts around the entire franchise. And a couple years ago, it was Phoenix in the bubble. You know, they didn't have Chris Paul yet, but they went 8-0 in the bubble, and that set the stage for everything to come next. I thought last year it was Minnesota. Like, they were just trash, absolute trash early in the season. By the end of it, they weren't great, but they were like 500-ish over their last like 20-some-odd games after they switched coaches. And this year, like, it's New Orleans.
Like, I don't know exactly what they have yet, but you can tell they're building something. And you can tell they found a lot of dudes who are committed to it. And Zion's sitting there waiting, but the foundation is being built around him, you know, and in some ways kind of without him. And like, they just have a lot of competitive dudes. They got Alvarado, who's just like trying to do the sneaky stuff. And that was a hilarious moment when Chris Paul looked at him like
we're not doing this shit.
Like, yeah. Bitch, come like, on.
I'm a grown man. You gotta get me.
I'm not the dude for this. And but they, I mean, Herb Jones, like, there's just a lot of competitive dudes around Ingram, who's gotten a lot better, and CJ McCollum, who brings them a level that they'd never had before as a playmaker at that position. And so I just feel like there's a lot going right for them right now. Willie Green has done a great job turning things around there. And I don't know whether they'll beat the Suns, but now that Booker's out, they'll make the Suns work. And that's where I think this injury could really hurt Phoenix down the line. I think they'll still get by New Orleans if they don't have Booker. But you put so many more miles on Chris Paul, and he's always been an injury liability in the playoffs. Hurt, yeah. And, like, you have to play him more minutes. You have to give him more touches. More is on his shoulders. And I think just the mileage there concerns me now, because this will be a longer series, and it'll be a tougher series for Chris Paul.
And what we thought would be a sweep, probably, right?
For sure. I thought it would be a tough sweep, but I thought it would be a sweep. Yeah. And now I still don't think the Suns are going to lose a series, but it looks like it's going to be a lot harder.
Yeah. The way Ingram looks and the way they're like, CJ McCollum is just, he's making them dudes work on defense, right?
Jay's boy, Jay Crowder, got lit up last night.
Jay Crowder, he's a got helpful lit
player. Hey, but up, did he hit a big three, though?
He was a traffic cone. He hit one big three after missing several threes and screwing up several runs by the Suns earlier in that game.
It was a weird effort from Phoenix, though. Like there was that one play with, like, 3 minutes left. Alvarado's running it to half court, and they just don't get back on defense, leave somebody wide open under the hoop.
It was Trey Murphy.
Phoenix never does stuff like that. They went through the whole regular season like that was the team that was locked in. So it was just a weird, weird
game
for
them. Maybe Booker shouldn't have been hustling. Booker cut all this transition defense out. You should have been coasting it.
You don't need the hustle. You don't need the fake hustle. You stroll through that crosswalk, okay? That car will wait. They can accelerate later on if they need to make up that time. You can give them an extra 3 seconds. Like, you don't need to hustle at all. I am on team. Just stroll along.
That's what
you can't do.
That's
what I do. Absolutely.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Take two. Ain't ducking no smoke.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
This hottie duty got wooden balls, man.
I got a joint here, man. I've been saving for a special occasion.
Memphis, Ja Morant, the Grizzlies took game two of their series against the Timberwolves with a 124-96 win. Goodness, the largest margin of victory in franchise history in a playoff game. Ja Morant nearly had a triple-double, 23 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds, and the Grizz swamped the Timberwolves with 60 points in the paint, a Grizzlies hallmark this season. Quote from Taylor Jenkins, This is our recipe. Jade, play the tape.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction for us. I mean, we've got to have the threat of everything on the floor. I said if we just play this style, the way we're moving the ball, the way we're running the floor, obviously getting stops helps that. You know, it ignites our offense. You know, you become less predictable. You know, you can still get into the paint. You can get to hopefully the free throw line. You're getting great looks from the outside. We had so many open looks that we missed, but this is exactly what we want. So we'll watch the film, show the guys. This is our recipe. They keep putting the work. We trust them to have the green light when they're open. But this is more of the style that we got to play.
The Wolves dominated the series opener after scoring a franchise record 41 points in the first quarter. Game two, however, officials stayed busy calling 20 fouls in a very long first quarter. Let me tell you this. Zach Zarba is pretty hit or miss, okay? James Williams is one of the worst officials I've ever seen. I cannot believe he does playoff games. He hasn't gotten any better than when he was a rookie official about a decade ago. And you saw this game. There were five fouls called in the first 67 seconds of the third quarter. A flagrant, that's the thing. There, in the first 4 minutes of this game, there were 10 foul calls. There was a tech and there was a flagrant. Maybe two of those calls were correct, and it wasn't the flagrant or the tech. Just unbelievable. It kept the NBA's top scoring teams in the regular season from getting into any kind of rhythm. They combined to shoot 33 free throws. Not only were they getting chippy on the court, but off the court, a simmering fun beef between the fathers of Ja Morant and Karl Anthony Towns has captured the attention of TV cameras. Quote from T. Morant, as he told Chris Haynes during a sideline appearance on TNT, "We ain't ducking no smoke." Jade, played that tape.
They get a little lead. Now they want to talk. Have time to be like, uh-oh, we scoring now.
We ain't had no lead. Hey, look at this. We ain't ducking no smoke. Hey.
Series now moves to Minneapolis for games 3 and 4, where the Wolves will have an opportunity to go up in the playoff series in front of their home crowd for the first time since 2004. Jay, can the Timberwolves get back to the way they played in game one and get the series to 6 or 7 games? Perhaps even winning that series.
Well, first of all, I want to bring up the T. Morant, Karl Towns Sr. thing.
Oh, my God, so good.
It's good. They got to come up with some new material. I saw them interviewed two different times, and they brought up the same jokes. Like, you can't be bringing up the same jokes twice. Everyone's going to see both of those.
You got to tour the jokes,
they're old,
man.
They're middle-aged to old men. Like, that's all they... My dad has told the same jokes for 40 years.
Yeah,
like,
it's old black man, don't change the jokes.
T. Morant is no older than 23.
They know what works, and they go with what works.
T. Morant is no older than 23.
Cat Williams doesn't have new material.
The Kings of Comedy was the same jokes everywhere.
Steve Harvey doing the same thing every damn day.
I'm just saying, I'm all for it, but if I have to hear T. Morant talk about Carl Anthony Towns or Karl Towns Sr. like fitting into his son's jersey one more time. I'm just done with it. I'm done with it.
It still works.
Still works. Yeah,
I thought game two was just the Grizzlies kind of being like, oh yeah, you thought we were vulnerable. Like thought we were fluky during the regular season. You thought Minnesota was gonna give us a series. That was just them kind of being like, yeah, we may be young, we may be inexperienced, but we've got a lot here, and we're ready for this too. So I'm not ready to write off the Timberwolves for the rest of the series at all, but that was a reminder that Memphis is bad and Memphis is dangerous.
Marcus, it felt like the Wolves went into game two with mission accomplished. We stole the game.
No question.
Right? And then got complacent. And now I think that pressure is on them at home in Minneapolis.
And here's why, like there's a window here for Minnesota to capitalize. I don't know if they will, but when you make a team adjust in game two, like that, if they can respond to that, then what does Memphis do? Like, is the counter to bring back Steven Adams again? Like, what do you do now?
I don't know.
They shifted in game two, sat down Steven Adams, and Karl Anthony Towns clearly had a rough go. But if he could somehow respond to that, now I wonder where does Memphis go from there? So
what you have to do is now Towns has to put his ass on the block.
Absolutely. Now he's got to go to the block. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Minnesota has a chance here to kind of capitalize because Memphis, in a must-win situation, they had to make the adjustment. So that's the benefit of winning game one. I mean, look, Memphis is great, but they do have some areas of concern. First off, they had 7 dudes score double figures. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, like, that's a lot of dudes.
That's a lot of dudes. And then, but hey, Dillon Brooks is a problem. That's all.
For who?
For Memphis.
That's what I was hoping you were going
to say. For Memphis, like,
that is an overly confident man.
Now,
right there.
I don't think you can bank on all, like, their bench was so incredible and usually is. And obviously, they are a deep team. I do wonder, like, I wouldn't be as surprised at all if they played 10 guys in Minnesota on the road and it worked. But we also know that usually the bench guys play better at home. Road games are about stars, right? You know Ja's coming. You could kind of pencil in Jaren Jackson too. Dillon Brooks is going to be a difference maker, right? Dillon Brooks and D'Angelo Russell might decide.
I trust in Dillon Brooks. I know he can be a maniac with some of his shot selection at times. I know sometimes he tries to do stuff he probably shouldn't be trying to do, but I just trust in that dude's competitive spirit. And I think, like, when it really comes down to it, he's the type of guy that's gonna, like, will himself to make that shot or will himself to make that play.
You don't need will, though. Sometimes you need? You need composure. Yeah. You need to get yourself. So to me, they need to play Tyus Jones more because they need somebody on the court to be like, hey, everybody calm the hell down. We are Memphis. Like, we're the number two seed. And these dudes get so riled up that they just start foaming at the mouth. And it's like, yo, that helps Minnesota. You start playing Pat Beverly's game. Like, you got to be cool against Pat Bev. You can't be foaming at the mouth back because then he know he got you. And that's what Dillon Brooks does.
That Memphis team loves to talk
shit.
Yes,
they do.
They love to talk shit. Oh, my God.
That clip Ja put on Instagram before the game was incredible.
He found the Michael Jordan clip.
Yeah.
Hey, he is the best at it though.
Saying he wasn't worried about losing one game and saying that we'll see if they talk crap when they're tied or when
0-0. Yeah.
It's easy to talk crap when you're up. And that's kind of the perfect synopsis of the Timberwolves. Was, they talk a lot when they're winning.
To the point where I'm wondering, does Ja have a writing crew for his trash talk? Does he have a camp? Like, is this really all
they should run for
him?
His father too. He needs some new jokes.
Some of us geniuses. Everything's off the dome, Marcus. You know, I can relate to Ja Morant in that way. You just say what comes to mind, and luckily that mind's always turning with that.
He had a moment
walking back in the tunnel after the game where he's screaming to the camera as he's walking back, like, "Stay on your side. You switch sides. Stay on that side." I'm like, "Who are you talking to?" There was nobody in the tunnel. No security, no Wolves fans, nothing. Like, I just don't – he just talks to talk.
But he's incredible at it. And the reason I love – like, obviously, he's great. Obviously, he kind of represents this new wave of players. They don't care, man. But he also appreciates good. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't out here just being disrespectful. Like, he gonna talk that talk. I just still can't believe this dude is, like, watching the Warriors, and he's like, yo – the Warriors have shooters everywhere. Steph and Clay are on fire, right? It's like, dude, you're going to have to play them. But he don't care. He like, yo, he y'all, shit, yeah, yeah. Like, at all. Yeah. And it's perfect.
Because
like,
his mentality is they're going to have to play me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, this dude is a godsend, man. Like, he is perfect.
Speaking of getting smoked, take three. The Death Lineup 2.0. After a rusty game one coming off the bench for the Warriors, Steph Curry exploded as the Warriors' sixth man on Monday night. Super sub Curry, 34 points in 23 minutes, led to Golden State to a 126-106 victory over the Denver Nuggets. They now lead that series 2-0. Curry, who missed the final 12 games of the regular season with bone bruise and sprained ligaments in his left foot, went off 12 of 17 from the field, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. He hit 5 of 10 from downtown, finished with a plus 32 plus minus. Jade, play the tape.
Curry, a little step back on Gordon. Passes another one in.
According to Stathead, Curry is the only player in NBA history to score at least 30 points while playing in 23 minutes or less. Meanwhile, a new death lineup has emerged. I've heard Fast Five, the Fitz Five, Liquid
this.
Death lineup of Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and your boy Jordan Poole. The full unit took the court with 6:02 remaining in the second quarter as the Warriors trailed 43-35. By the time the whistle blew for halftime, Warriors led 57-51. Draymond Green said it's a passer's paradise, Poole had 29 points, one shy of the 30 he put up in his playoff debut on Saturday. Warriors fans have got to love that. So, Marcus, are the Warriors better than what we thought they were?
It depends on what point in the season.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had about six seasons this year.
Jay, first off, Jay, can we stop? Like, can we get a minute's minimum before we start nicknaming lineups?
The rush to nickname stuff is too much.
Like, they've literally played like 18 minutes. Like, can we? I hear.
But did you see those 18 minutes, Marcus? My goodness.
The 18 minutes they were enough to break Denver. The news. I've never seen a team down five more like done. Like, they were down five and it was over. Like, they're fighting each other. Like, it was done.
And Michael Malone, they showed him on the sideline. His look was like, oh my God.
He was done. And the crazy part is, like, then the second half, the whole third quarter became about, like, we got to build this lead up big enough before Steph comes back. Like, we can't. Yeah. And they were done. It was literally a 6-point game at halftime and it was over. Like, but I don't know. Part of me is like, obviously it makes a lot of sense, right? Obviously it's super explosive. It makes sense. But it's also Denver, right? Yeah. I mean, there probably isn't a more ill-equipped team to handle it. They got Monte Morris and Will Barton Garden, Steph. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And I like Monte Morris. That's just
the only
a lot.
The only adjustment they could have is if Campazzo went out there and just hit Steph and Clay with a lead pipe. That's the only adjustment that they can make right now.
I mean,
send Boogie out there too.
That's pretty much that. I mean, really, they don't have a counter. Like, mm-mm. Jokic is like dead tired by the third quarter. It's Denver. Yeah. Part of me is like, yeah, they're obviously good. We knew they were good. We knew, I still think Phoenix is the best team, but we knew, like, hey, man, it'll be a great series. The Warriors could win it. It's Denver just is not capable of guarding this team.
Agreed. But at the same time, like, the Warrior, outside of the Suns, the Warriors had one of the best stretches this season of any team early in the season. And now Klay is back and looks pretty much like Klay lately. Draymond is back healthy and looks pretty much like Draymond. Yo. And they found Jordan Poole.
Who do they find, Jay?
I knew this was coming. Yes.
The guy that's good every other month.
You
so good
predicted
luck in May.
Jordan Poole would
good
would
luck
be,
in May.
Congratulations.
That's going to be a big fall off.
You knew Jordan Poole was coming.
And then you won't have to worry about June.
But he plays stylistically more like Steph than probably anyone else in the entire NBA. Yeah. And it's crazy because he's running around screens. He's doing all the off-ball stuff. Mm. He's got the elite shooting paired with that. And I look at him and I wonder how much, like, being there has shaped the way he plays, because you can tell he took so much from Steph. He's taken so much from Draymond yelling at him, being like, you gotta come off the dribble handoff. You gotta, like, do all that. And it's scary. It's scary what those dudes can do offensively. I'm with you, Marcus. I want to see them against a team that's not, like, the worst possible matchup for them.
Look, no disrespect to the Denver Nuggets or the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm dying for a Warriors-Grizzlies second-round series. Dying.
Yeah, it would be
the
epic.
Amount of talk that's going to happen between Draymond and that Grizzlies team.
All I know is they better not. Memphis got to win that series, because the trash talk Draymond's gonna have if they don't.
Will we have the same sideline interviews with T. Morant and Draymond's mom?
Oh, wouldn't that be epic?
Oh my goodness.
Wouldn't that be epic? That would be crazy. Speaking of Draymond, like, I know our Sam Amick was writing about how rare it is for an MVP. Presumed MVP to go out in the first round. I haven't seen Jokic look this helpless before. Like,
they're attacking him every time on defense to wear him down, and then he just, like, there's only so much he can do on offense.
He's 6-for-25 against Draymond. Like,
yeah,
he must have known going into this series, like, man, not only are we in so much trouble, but, like,
this is gonna
they
suck.
Play in a way that attacks all of my weaknesses at the same time. And
if the Warriors sweep the Nuggets, do you think that Denver can file a restraining order against Golden State just for future playoff
matchups? Denver's too busy. their players are too busy filing reverse restraining orders against each themselves. Other.
Yeah, exactly. Had to wait line.
I legitimately feel bad for Denver.
Yo,
at this
I've
point.
Never like, in my life heard players after a players only meet and come out still mad at each other. They weren't even. They weren't even front
mad.
Like it worked, right?
Even more mad. No. Like, yeah, we worked some stuff out. Like, nah, fuck these dudes.
It's the same as it always is. All talk. I was like, yo, you just had a players only meeting.
Yeah. All right. And Michael Malone was out. Like, yeah, I just hope this didn't like totally ruin our team.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I hope we're not just totally broken going into game three.
Yeah. This might be a wrap, boys. All right. That's enough talk about Nuggets on 420. Take four. Luka back. But does it even matter? According to sources, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, there's optimism Dallas Mavericks star Luka Doncic will return for game three or game four against the Jazz.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
The calf strain that Doncic suffered on April 10th is improving, and workouts over the next 2 days could determine comeback timing. Doncic's return would be icing on the cake after the Mavericks snatched game two in their opening round series against the Jazz, a loss that had pundits furious with the play of Utah's Donovan Mitchell after another fourth quarter collapse. Jade, play that tape of Stephen A.
I'm a fan of Jalen Brunson. Before he won points, this is what Utah does. This is what they do. Every single time you expect something from them, they let you down.
With the series now tied, game three and four will be played in Utah. Jay, do the Mavs actually need Luka to return, or can this Jazz dumpster fire sustain itself to the inevitable exit from these playoffs? Jay, what I really want you to talk about is Rudy Gobert.
They do need Luka, they will need him at some point.
Talk about Rudy.
But their only
don't talk about Luka. Talk
their
about
only
Rudy.
Goal without him was to just like stay afloat enough that he can come and just torture.
Just
the
talk
Jazz.
About Rudy. No one wants this. We just want you to talk about Rudy Gobert. There
okay.
We go.
It's time to talk about Rudy Gobert.
There we go.
Because year after year, we see the same stuff. Year after year, the Jazz get worse defensively in the playoffs, get exposed defensively in the playoffs, and there's nothing Rudy can do about it. And I know that they have flawed perimeter defenders. I know those guys are getting beat. But I'm sick of the Kevin O'Connors and the Bovell Garrises and the Nate Duncans and all these guys just coming out defending Rudy. Why do we need to defend Rudy Gobert? This guy is one of the best ever at what he does well. He's a defense unto himself.
In the regular season.
He can protect the paint like no other.
In the regular season.
But it's time for everyone, and not just the people like Zach who are willing to acknowledge the truth, but everyone to admit that Rudy's limitations matter in the playoffs. The fact that he can't slide his feet like everyone else. The fact that he can't switch like a Bam Adebayo or a Draymond Green. The fact that he's not going to be the center who helps you in rotations. It all matters, and it all is part of the reason why they break down year after year after year. They do it. It doesn't even matter the opponents. Like, it's Maxi Kleber. It's Terrence Mann. It's Jalen Brunson. It's Reggie Jackson. It literally does not matter. They break down, and he is stuck between trying to help and trying to guard the arc. And he's great. He's one of the greatest defenders who ever lived
in the regular season.
But we all need to acknowledge that his flaws matter. Just say it. Just say it. Just let yourself know it.
Well, at least they're not paying $40 million a year. Marcus, what do you think the Jazz's prospects are if Luka is back in game 3 or game 4?
Rudy's coming to the Warriors, and then he's going to become the greatest center of all time. No.
Wow. Wow. Wiggins for Rudy, straight up. There you go.
I actually still think, Dallas might win the series either way. But first off, to me, it's wild that Luka's coming back. That's crazy. It's so risky. Like, so you got risky. Two seasons hanging in the balance here. I don't know what they're doing, but if Luka comes back, they're done. Like, Utah's done. They can't guard Jalen Brunson, and that's a problem. But
that was so mean.
I mean, Jalen Brunson's good. Really good. He's really good. But come on.
I mean, the Knicks are about to give him a bag.
Oh yeah, he's a really good point guard, right? He's just like his daddy, right? Like, he can get down low. He's really great. 15 feet.
He can score, though.
Yeah. So, but the fact that Rudy can go minus 24 in a game without Luka is probably, I don't know what he was, but it felt like he was like minus 24. But to me, this is an issue that I feel like Danny Ainge has to fix. Like, Rudy is good, but he's good in a very particular situation, right? And they refuse to address this situation. I mean, Royce O'Neal is like the best perimeter defender they have, and he's not that good anymore. You got to put Rudy in a better position defensively. We've just seen enough. He's not getting to the corner. He's not like stopping dudes on the perimeter, and that's all playoff basketball is. So to put him in that spot kind of works against him. But also, they've just completely forgot about this fact that we've learned this from Draymond. You can't be a nothing on offense. Like, that's right. Part of it, right? That's part of it. And so they've allowed Rudy, because, you know, Donovan is only passing the salt, to just become like a nothing. Like, it doesn't matter.
Well, they do sit at lunch together sometimes.
Yeah, so it's like, if he's going to be nothing out there, then that means every single play he makes on defense matters. And every bucket he gives up puts him in a hole. And you just can't be that way in the playoffs.
And on top of this, I know we're bashing Rudy a lot, and I do think some of it is very deserved, but Donovan Mitchell has been a disaster on both ends of the floor, right? Like, he's getting his points, but he was so bad. His decision-making in the fourth quarter is so bad. You're not Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Stop. Like, you're just not. And then defensively, we know he's a nothing right now. But on offense, like, he's got to stop settling for three-point. You're not a good three-point shooter. You're okay at it. He just settles for these step-back threes all the time, Jay.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem is, like, they're not as good defensively as they used to be. They have a lot of guys who can get beat, and that has nothing to do with Rudy. But they all, like, when they lost Joe Ingles, who was very good for them, they did nothing to replace him. They went out at the trade deadline and got Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who is no help to them. They picked up Juancho Hernangómez, who is somehow playing playoff minutes. Rudy Gay didn't work. So all the moves they've made to, like, address their depth, like, just have not paid any dividends. And so, like, part of what made them great was they had four different guys who could beat you in the pick and roll. And losing Ingles is a big deal. So their offense just doesn't work the same as it used to.
That's a front office problem, though. Like, they kept trying to run it back with a squad that wasn't getting it done. And, like, how many times do you do that? And now you have nobody who can play defense on the perimeter. And they know. You can tell by the way they play that they know they're cooked,
right?
As
soon as it starts, they're like, well, here we go, right?
They're like, we're done. Daniel House is the stopper now, right? It's like, they know. And they just kept running it back, and they kept getting worse. And when people understand what you're going to do, you can't run the same thing back in the NBA. Not two years, not 3 years. Like, you got to reinvent yourself. And they just have it. I don't even think that's Rudy's fault. Like, he's exploitable, it's not his fault. They didn't set him up. You can't get this dude all this money and then not set it up for him, right?
Like, again, I don't think this is Rudy's fault, but he's not a solution, and part of it is to blame. Like, there's only so much he can do with the way he moves, and it's not.
I mean, Conley, where's Mike Conley? Like, he's supposed to be. You're talking about Donovan Mitchell. Like, they brought in Mike Conley to be the guy.
To figure that out,
And somehow he can't get the ball out of Mitchell's hand.
Bojan Bogdanovic is the only one I trust in that team right now. He's the only one that I think is pressure-proof. But let's move on. Take five.
Jordan Clarkson is calling.
It's time to be blunt. It's losing time. Los Angeles Lakers legend and NBA icon / logo, Jerry West, has declared the portrayal of himself in HBO's drama series Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty, as a, quote, deliberately false characterization and a baseless portrayal. In a letter issued to executive producer Adam McKay, as well as HBO and its parent company, Warner Brothers Discovery, on Tuesday, West's attorneys state that the series has, quote, caused great distress to Jerry and his family, demanding a legal retraction from HBO within 2 weeks. Quote from the letter, you took a happy and super successful Lakers era and turned it into a pulpy soap opera. You depicted the people in a false light, not at all who they are, to garner ratings and make money. The letter also contains testimony from individuals who worked alongside West at the time, including words from Claire Rothman and Abdul-Jabbar, both of whom are also portrayed on the series by Gabby Hoffman and Solomon Hughes, respectively. So, Marcus, it's time to figure out, is this the end of Winning Time?
Of course it ain't.
All publicity is good publicity.
What's a retraction?
I was thinking that, like, can you pull it from my mind?
What does that mean?
Can you erase the memories? Can you get more of the Men in Black things and Flash so I don't know what I saw?
It is a fucking dramatization. They literally say that.
But with that said, right, like, there's nothing they can do. But I think what Jerry's doing is good. You know, I think this is smart, because here's why it's a little seedy to me. Here's why it's a little seedy. No, it is. Like, it's first off, he's like, how old is Jerry West? Like, if you could get paid out of this, right? Like, they're going to settle. Sure. They're going to settle. They don't want smoke with Jerry West. They're going to settle. He's going to get paid. But the part that's a little seedy is Jerry West has been very, very open about his depression issues and about his, you know, about his mental stuff. And they were like, maybe that makes it plausible, right? Like, so if they're like, hey, man, he did write about it in his book. So maybe, so that's where it's like a little, come on, man. But if he came out and said, yeah, we needed a character to be a little wild. We chose Jerry West. This is not Jerry West. Like, make them say that. Break bread. I got it. If I'm Jerry West, as a matter of fact, I'm about to sue the Hollywood for all the times they made black people look bad, for all the times they misrepresented my culture and made it look like we were shooting people. Okay, maybe we were. Nah, I'm getting paid.
No, you know what? I'm with you,
paid.
Marcus. Nah. I'm with you on this.
I want a retraction.
I'm sick of everyone thinking of Mel Gibson every time they think of Scottish people, all right? William Wallace was better than Mel Gibson. I'm sick of this shit. I want reparations from Braveheart. I want them to retract it and pay all Scottish descendants.
Baby.
Absolutely. No, we're in on this.
we're doing this.
The real hero of this was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, because I don't know if you guys read the story that he wrote, but that man took down Winning Time's production like I don't know how those guys can go on anymore. Like, this dude was throwing fire.
I know how.
HBO's paying a shitload of money.
I know how. when they get an Emmy,
he wrote
He wrote, humor is one of Adam McKay's specialties, but he can't seem to find any in this show.
There incorrect. Are attempts, I've laughed many times.
But they often fall flat because they are so obvious and predictable. Those bro dude attempts are as cringy as a bad SNL skit. Like, this dude, he went hard. He said, it's as if he strung together a bunch of flashing colored lights and told us this is the spirit of Christmas. Like,
okay, that's pretty good. That's a good line right there.
Kareem was just killing dudes. And so that's the part of it.
I respect it, man. Defend yourself. I get it. They out here throwing shade on your name.
Let me ask this question.
Smoke.
Doesn't this letter from Jerry West and his representation, doesn't it kind of fit the character on Winning Time of what he might do? Like, you kind of proven Winning Time's point here. Because also, let me say this. The first two episodes, I get it. And look, it's easy for me to say, they're not portraying me here, right? So, like, it's not personal to me. I love Jerry West, but this isn't personal to me. I think it's okay. The first two episodes, I'm with him. Like, that seemed pretty heavy-handed. Since then, it looks pretty mild to me. Like, I don't really know. I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal. But, again, it's not
Paul
my
portrayal. Paul West said it might be next.
Now that's a letter that should be sent because Jason Siegel has made him look all bad.
I also think like there's a level where you just shouldn't care about stuff like this. I feel like Jerry West is at a level where if they portray him one way in an HBO show, like, I'm not the man. It's tough for you to say that, but at the same time, like Jerry West's legacy
is
concrete.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's going to look at Winning Time and be like, this changes the way I feel about Jerry West.
Well,
he's the logo. He's a guy who,
I don't know, but there's a bunch of
has
people
done so much and been around the NBA so long. Yeah, I guess.
But here's the thing I would say. Like, Jerry's 83 years old, right? Yeah. Jerry's 83. That's, well, I mean,
like,
that's
almost
that's
84.
Old.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost 84. And so I think for us, I think for older people, it's not going to change the perception. But for young people looking at who that is, I get it. I do think, and Marcus, you may be right. He may get a check out of this and that's all that's needed. But I actually think bringing this lawsuit up or bringing this letter up and this demand actually hurts in the sense that it might get more people to pay attention to Winning Time at this point, right? If they weren't that interested before, and you're into basketball or whatever, this may bring you towards, you know what, maybe I need to check this out if it's that salacious.
And there was something like, I hate using the word classy, so I don't want to say that, but something about letting other people say, man, that ain't the Jerry I knew. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And
yes.
having that speak for you. But man, I feel it, man. I ain't against anybody defending their name and their honor and going to get that bread.
This is the most united the Lakers franchise has been in a long time. Like, coming to Jerry West's defense.
Jerry West saving the Lakers again.
Yeah, Jerry West saving the Lakers ass once again. Yeah, it's funny because, like, nobody involved in the story is like, yeah, you know what? It's pretty interesting. They're all, because Pat Riley hated that Jeff Perlman book. Like, a lot of people have been like, no, I have no interest in this, that were involved in this story. And
Gary
Vee
went for 2 days and was like, yeah, nah, I'm cool.
Yeah,
he turned down a lot of money.
Yeah, he turned down Brent. Was like, nah, this
like,
ain't
what
right.
Was it, 15 grand, I think it was? Like just to be a part, just to be around
a
the show.
Consultant,
and, like,
yeah.
Give insight, yeah.
Yeah, nah,
like, that's easy money.
Yeah.
Did he turn down the money, though? Did they be like, give me...
Well, you know, I might want to check those bank statements.
I was here for 2 days, buddy. Give me my bread.
I was here, yeah. At least get a prorate on that one, yeah. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Don't forget to subscribe to all the shows on the Athletic Podcast Network. We got Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, Forum Club, Game Notes, and of course, Michelle Beadle's new podcast, What Did I Miss? For Jay King, for Marcus Thompson, for Jay Hoy, I'm Zach Harper. Enjoy your 420, even though this is coming out on 421. Enjoy it again. Remix it.
Remix it.
No, it makes it even funnier. It makes it even funnier, though, I think.